thank you so much. Wonderful to be in the top floor of the Long Valley. So, I did this last time we performed when we were in Clifton, and it kind of worked pretty well to read a couple of poems first, because it gives you a bit of an idea of what is going on with the puppetry performance as well, what it's about. So I'm going to read about a handful of poems. This first one is called Quasimodo. As you might be able to guess, when I was growing up, that wasn't much fun. And I didn't really want to talk about the Hunchback of Notre Dame, but I had to eventually. As poets, you do, you just have to keep saying what you are afraid of, perhaps. So this is my conversation with him. I am 12 when they tease you into me, name first, with your fist around my spine as I try to grow up into my own upright self. I am quiet, I think you small, like you might crawl out while I yawn or piss or sleep. Your nest of collected sticks grows in this belfry chest. Afraid and facing away, I blur mirrors with spit and hide behind excuses not to take off my shirt at the beach. The thin white frames of schoolgirls rise like lighthouses. They call out my name in voices I have thrown. No one is saved. Through my eyes, the flickering fires you fuel are signs. Memories... I always miss a line. Men begin to close in, waving their torches of word and fist. So I fix a rope to my mouth and lower myself down inside. These bones enclose a flapping of echoes, what darkness can't silence. Tendrils reach for my legs, memories begging to be fed. But at last, I clutch your throat and haul you out. Your face is white and wet, your bottom lip trembling with the weight of our shape. You smell of the filth and luck of cul-de-sacs, your home, my flesh. My arms reach around your swollen bulk before I can think or flinch. We are two halves of a heart stitched together with myth. Over my shoulder you stare out to where the sun reenacts its death, and against your hump my soft skin sweats and breathes. This next one is called Secessionist, and it's about something that I've never experienced. It's about being a conjoined twin and wanting to be separated from your other half, which I kind of think is our... We're all complicated people. We've got multiple things going on inside us, and we wish things were simple. So here it is, Secessionist. I feel a breath at my neck and wake. A dream only a stranger's brain could make jolts me back into my body. Who else roams these bones? The morning sun cannot melt him away. He throws back the sheets as I reach for the snooze, my brain a dead leg he drags through the day. How much can physiology explain? He puts on clothes I know don't suit us, eats the food I can't bear to taste, loops memories I'd rather lose. I'm allergic to the pills he takes that make us well. My thoughts fall from the tree he grows. Once I spoke up, he slapped me. I punched him in the guts. It hurt us both. On the surface, all is calm. Skin keeps us singular. In the gym, in a mantra of movement and sweat, tense men furtively scan me for sutures, questions crushed beneath their teeth. But every life is a hive of many energies. And tonight, as he slips into sleep, a molecular frequency keeps me awake, sharpening this knife. I thought I should also read Yeah, this poem, which is partly about growing up in Bendigo, which is a small country town to the north of Melbourne. But it's also about my dad. He died when I was very young, when I was 2 years old, of the same genetic condition that I have. And the puppetry piece, performance piece that we're going to see is also about that. So this is about a whole lot of things, and it's called Where He Went. Oh, I should also say too, it's partly about, I spent a few years as a fundamentalist Christian. I left that behind, but I thought it was worth writing about as well. Where He Went. I was praying again to be rid of desire or this body, who knows, when the answer came. In the convulsions of cells, brain claiming these unbroken thoughts as its own. God was home, safe inside an idea of himself, an unfixable flaring in the dark periphery. Familiar hymns lifted me up out of the soil of flesh. I held my breath for 9 labyrinthine years. No God led me out. Now, as the city rises above us, we can't hear the river of traffic, see no spirits coiled around trees in the park. Some things are deeper than culture. I've carried my father's bones like sand, low in the pockets, learning the meanings of silence too slow. Where I grew up, the abandoned lots were blessed with such dust and boys riding bikes joyfully too fast. Each prayer folds over these words, God, hold me, this body, I don't want it. All the hours I spent in church, I never noticed, but remember now, how in open worship time, the women told stories, the men delivered lessons. And I remember my voice as I spoke, a little tremor I ignored. This poem is about, the genetic condition I have is called Marfan syndrome, and for a long time when I was growing up I didn't know anybody with that as well. And I've heard about this particular association of people with the same condition. I tracked them down and found it. I was very nervous about meeting all these people, this kind of broad genetic family. And of course, it was not as momentous as I thought it would be. So this is called Mirrors. And I should also say too, the meeting was in a hospital. It was at the Children's Hospital where I'd had surgery years before that. Our separate cars bask in the sun, wait patiently. We approach, walk past the wards, absorbing their scents and dialects in our skin. Yet who of us fits the definition of sick? Instead, at the heart's largest valve, a sword. I've arrived alone, only son to trip at the 15th chromosome. The hydraulic song of the lift, the shaft, resonant as a throat, lasts a moment too long. I shoulder the opening doors and wince. Another unshifting wall is ahead, its long frieze, solid knowledge, double helix, a burning rope. One axis of our infinite identities shift thrusts into me. The mirrors I might find behind the labelled door, limbs of spider or giraffe, faces the shape of skulls, spines the embodiment of a twisted blueprint. My footsteps echo and crowd the corridor. I cannot hear anymore the breath of respirators, numbers scratched on a chart of gaps, the clashing ambient music of monitors and video games. A hand brushing a tear from a cheek. This discordant chorus of each body's pain, the solitary confinement of flesh. I open the door and am faced with the family resemblance of humanness. We talk of Paul Newman's charity, sport, and who will take the minutes. 10 floors down, each windscreen branch sprouts a parking ticket leaf, waving in the breeze, as if saying goodbye. second guess, not something like. No, I'll read that one instead. Yeah, I'll read this one as a, which is also related to the performance piece we're going to do. The puppet that you will see is a portrait of me. I should also say too, he's reasonably small, so when we perform you may want to kind of get closer. I won't force you, but you may want to be closer up. So this poem is actually about the process of being having a portrait made of you. Rachel was very patient with me. Okay, this is called On Being Sculpted. You've never looked at me like this before. Will I ever be finished? I am as still as I can be, part model, part rabbit, trembling in your attention, as if one of me was already too many. Yes, I am difficult. Easily forget this is how anything good happens, the long, patient pressure of muscle and flesh on something not yet. What is it with consciousness? It floats off, astronaut teething at the supply line. I wake at 3, thrown by that soft, pushing sound. You're still building, shaping my head, fingertips at my eyes. Brain-soaked, I can't even tell yet who threw that yellow square across the floor. The moon, the streetlight, or us. I'll read one more to close, which is a little touch of Kobe, which is where we live in Melbourne. I saw this bicycle, it was chained up to a fence, and the next day when I came back, a part of it was gone, it had been stolen, and then the next day, less of it was gone, and eventually the whole bike was gone. Opportunism, I guess, fair enough. It became a metaphor. So this is called The Bike Itself. The black bike someone left locked up is daily deconstructed by theft. With each walk past, you think, I could do with that, a simplification, where what's lost isn't up to me. Without knowing it, this is Coburg's version of a Zen koan. Where has the bike itself gone? A miner swoops and clips a pigeon. A plastic bag becomes a flag on a fig tree. And a young man stares into his laptop's dim, flickering screen. And now you can't walk past the half-demolished house. No roof or walls, only an empty frame surrounding a fireplace. Memories, not even lavender patterned wallpaper can hold on to, lift into the sky, like pollen or dust in reverse. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'll take a few seconds to rearrange this area.
What's the life of a man? Any more than the leaves. Each man has his season, so why should we grieve? We are all in this wide world, we're not here to stay. Like the we must wither and soon fade away.
Knowing only your earth-gripped body can accept this wreath of questions. I call the cemetery trust. I clutch for the first time the date you died. a grid position. The gates are held open by sleepless weeds, their shadows unseen, locked inside by the sun. It's hot, removing another layer, I sift the crunch of dry earth for sympathy in the sound, some hint of how I'll feel when finally face to stone. Though I know every echo is open to interpretation. When I reach your section, I find it barren, abandoned by flowers and rain. So many unmarked plots in this desert, no oasis. The gardeners drive past, trailing boredom and dust. I walk the aisles until I become just one more sigh in a crowd of uppercase names. Grief is not a hand, but an absence. It flies in the breeze, echoing in the curves of my ears. It reveals as much of what the grave knows as the magpie, eyeing me from its perch. Not another mute monument. In the shadow of the ring road overpass, I wait at the bank of the trickling creek for your image to appear, for your arms to reach out and around me. Apart from death, movement is the only constant. Rubbish. This is the consolation. My thoughts balloon and pull my body along. I walk until my heels are raw, but you're no closer. You don't keep the appointments I make. You slip in through fissures between thoughts that collapse as I catch myself in shop windows and see your nose, your hairline, your spine. How it twists and pulls like a river after rain. My dead father. The roaring trucks overhead couldn't care less. And the neck of the youngest swan is strong enough to break a human arm or heart. Cyclists in lycra swoop quietly past. I want the texture of feathers to speak to this skin, to calm and smother my fear I will never be held. Of course, if you were still alive, we might have argued over the merits of cricket, or why I resigned from the public service, or whether what I like to listen to is music. Here, the continual quiet speech of life floats through the air as seed. The sky breaks with explosions of wings. The slow translations of clouds. ambiguous nerves. At last, 33 years since your hallucinations, heart failure, the hospital closing its arms around you. Interrupts her busyness to talk with me. We both face down beds cobwebbed with cracks, cows craning through fences for rare green grass. Swollen clouds hang in the air, my questions, her pauses. Words come in spots like soft nails of rain. The drought earth gasps, but perhaps Mum was right. There isn't much she can tell me. Cockatoos screech through yellow feathers to reach dripping trees. She shows me a photo, which carries the blur and dust of any lens. Sense memories I wanted so much erupt in my skull. In a black suit and tie, salesman-like, you sit solid on the porch, cigarette scent on your breath. My brother is wriggle restless, ready for play. I rest on your lap, gazing away my